So we talk about aspects of culture a lot, but as the pace of change in organizations gets faster, it seems to me that a learning culture would be super valuable, and that's what we're talking about today. And here we are on the HR Hub podcast with me, Andrea Adams. Keep listening to learn about this and anything related to HR. You can also find me on YouTube. So today my guest is Michelle Ellis. Michelle works for Intellum, which is a learning management software company. She worked for Disney in R&D for quite a number of years. She has a PhD in training and performance improvement, right? And she's a lifelong learner, and her passion is releasing the potential in individuals. Hi, Michelle. How are you?
I'm great, Andrea. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming on again. So today we are going to talk about the learning culture. Can you even, it's a kind of a nebulous thing, can you define what a learning culture is?
So this will be my, not a Webster definition, but it'll be my interpretation of what a learning culture is. It's like when everyone supports and believes in the importance of investing in continuous learning and improvement at all levels. So executive all the way down to frontline employees. The organization, department, leaders, you know, teams, individuals, everyone has to have a stake in it for it to be successful.
Mm-hmm. Sounds easy. So why should we be putting effort into this? I mean, I probably preempted some of that, but what does this really do for an organization?
So over the years, I've done a lot of sort of learning science research as well outside of my PhD, and reports like McKinsey, Deloitte, Burst, and all of them talk about how learning culture can help with the continuous improvement, increase innovation in your organization, higher employee satisfaction and retention of employees, top talent, those types of things. And I think, you know, that, again, it sounds easy to have a culture, a learning culture, but, and it also sounds like easy, of course, it's a no-brainer. Why would we do this? Because we want to have our employees to be satisfied and, you know, feel fulfilled and give back to our organization and treat our customers in a certain way.
Yeah.
A return on investment. They all sound very easy. But the reality is sometimes it's hard. It's hard to build a learning culture because of all of those moving factors and those missing pieces.
You know, we hear a lot about upskilling and reskilling lately. And if we can't do those in many cases, because things are changing so fast, employees are going to have to be let go so that the organization survives and can get the skill it needs to survive. What role, like, would a learning culture play in upskilling and reskilling? Or it seems to me advantages there.
My personal experience has been I see organizations spend a lot of time on talent management, you know, sort of getting good in your role, advancing within your role. Like I come in as an employee, how do I get really good, have deep knowledge in my role and be a successful and a contributing employee? And then I look at it as, to your point, like, I think, I don't know if the pandemic made this an issue of the upskilling and the reskilling. And so I look at talent planning now, because I think whether it came out of the pandemic or not, you need to think about the different hats that people will wear. And again, we always say, like, your career isn't a ladder necessary, but a lattice. And so I need to think about, how do I grow deep in my role? I get really good at what I'm doing, but also what are those roles that contribute to me, and how can I learn more about what they do? So I can also figure out what's my career aspiration, what's my next move, my evolution. Mm-hmm. And so I think in that sense, it's looking at what skills I have, what skills I might need to upskill, what skills I might need to reskill, because like you said, technology is changing, things are changing so rapidly, and artificial intelligence is clearly one of those things where it's just moving so fast, I don't know how we're possibly keeping up. But so from a learning culture, I think the HR organization, the leaders who take the time to think about their strategy, their goals, what are the skills they're going to need for the future, and not just thinking in the here and now, but also what am I going to need to move my organization forward that will help us think about those skills.
This is something I've been thinking about a lot lately, upskilling and reskilling. I'll have to do an episode on that at some point, but that with the pace of change and skills shortage, this is something that we, you know, in HR just have to be thinking about and get good at.
You know what comes along with that, with the upskilling and the reskilling, is competency-based learning. And I think a lot of organizations don't they have a job description, right? And they know what they want the person to do as part of their job, like the expectations of their role. But I don't know that they've actually looked at the skill or the competencies that are needed to do that role. And I think as we think about upskilling and reskilling, we're going to have to look at a broader perspective of not just what the skills are for that role, but what are the competencies we want to lead to that? And I think that will help almost make some transparency in the organization. So if I want to become a diversity officer, let's say for an organization, I clearly can look up and see what are the competencies, what are the skills for that role that helps me in my current role as a learning and development director. What do I need to work on? How can I advance myself? How can I take ownership on upskilling myself? You know, how can I have conversations with my leader or even reach out to the leaders in the diversity group to say, what are some areas that I can upskill in and get some feedback and some dialogue to create some of that? I think it's that upskilling and reskilling is so important, like you said, but I think we have to say, do we have the tools and resources right now to know we're going to need if we don't have like competencies identified and skills clearly identified by roles within an organization?
You talk about skills and competencies and you're kind of distinguishing, you're making a distinction between them. And it's a little bit of a sidebar, but can you elaborate on that? What's the difference?
So I might have a competency in, we think of one that we're currently doing with our leadership program. So a competency for me might be inspiring a culture, an inclusive culture where everyone feels like they belong.
Mm-hmm.
But the skills to do that might be different, might not just be that. It might be being an empathetic mm-hmm. leader, having active learning, listening skills, or being more question-oriented, asking thought-provoking questions and thought-probing questions. So there's skills that I might need to develop that will support the competency of being mm-hmm. an inclusive leader who creates an environment that fosters that inclusivity.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Have to do an episode on that sometime. You think after as many episodes as I've done, as many as I've done that I'd be like scraping the bottom of the barrel by now, but no, not at all.
Anyway, no, I think that's another topic. Like reskilling and upskilling is so, it's like kind of coming to the top right now, but this competency based is as well. And that's right. The difference to me between talent management and talent planning is talent managing is you're sort of like the status quo. How do I provide performance ratings and calibration, those kind of things, versus talent planning is more like, I think, on the succession planning side of how do I purposely map out all my organization's roles, the competencies for those roles, the skills that are needed to, and then make them transparent to the organization so I can have, people can have a career conversation with their leader and talk about owning their own career and development. Because if not, I'm a leader of a director of learning and development. Where's my next evolution? Is it VP of learning and development? Do I have to wait for somebody to leave or die to get a role? Or can I maybe take a sidestep because I know that there are complementary skills and competencies to what I already know or that I can learn until I'm ready to move into the VP of learning role? A little sidebar there, but that's talent planning, not just management. And I think that's something that organizations are going to have to invest in for their people in the future. To be ready for.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So employees, in my opinion, need to be their own advocates. Well, they have to take ownership of their learning and development. How can we get them to take ownership? Because I know in the other episode, you said, and at the beginning of this, you say you're a lifelong learner. That's not true of everybody. How do we instill some of that?
So the way that I think I formulated my philosophy on learning culture and thinking about getting people to be an advocate for their own learning. I start off in the very beginning, like with my own sessions, and I talk about like, there's like this three-legged stool analogy that I use.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like a Venn diagram, I guess, as well. But three people play a key role in learning and development, like in transfer of learning and learning culture and those types of things, in the sense that like as an employee, I have to want it. I always say to my kids, I can't do it for you. You got to want it. You got to do it yourself. So you got to want to improve your behavior, advance your career, learn something new, be open to something, right? Be open to new ways of thinking. And then your leader has to have a role in that because if, let's say, for example, I want to get better at public speaking, I'm an introvert and I I'm great one-on-one, but put me in front of a conference where you want me to be a guest speaker. I'm, you know, not ready for that. But let's say that I want to work on that. I have to say, okay, this is an area of opportunity for me. I got to learn, go out, find some learning opportunities. I've got to put myself into uncomfortable situations that are going to make me grow and do that kind of thing. Kind of like that. And then, right, I've got to say to my leader, like, okay, I'm working on this. I need your support. I need you to either support me in my workload so that I have capacity to go to maybe Toastmasters sessions or take more learning or be at a conference and speak in a small room of people. Or leader, when you hear about opportunities, make them available to me, because sometimes you, as the individual, you don't have the opportunity to apply those things, but the leader like they hear, oh, here's a growth opportunity, here's a stretch opportunity, here's a special project, or here's somebody who does that really well. Let me put them with that mentor to help them. So the leader has to sort of be invested as well in that employee's or person's development so that they can offer them opportunities that they would not be able to get themselves through delegating activities or assigning opportunities. But the organization also, that's the third leg of the stool, because I can want to do it and I can go learn all about it and I can apply it on my own way, but it may not advance my career. My leader can help me. So maybe there's some more opportunity for me. But if the organization doesn't value learning, they don't have a learning culture, they don't see the importance and the return on investment of investing in their employees, they're not going to see breakthrough ideas, innovation. They're not going to see, you know, inclusive workforces. They're not going to see sort of each other. I talked about the 70-20-10 model, is learning and teaching each other in those sort of informal ways. And so an organization has to then take the time and money also to offer learning development, to train people, you know, on the job where there are specific role, technical skills, what they call the soft skills, personal skills, interpersonal skills, those kinds of things. And so it really does take all three of those, because without them, the leg doesn't, the chair or the stool doesn't stand up, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's where they each have a really important aspect of it. The other thing I think is generationally, like newer generations are requiring, are like expecting employers to make an investment in them. Now, I come from back in the day when it was like lifetime employability. Like you work for a company like Disney. I was there for a very long time. You know, there's no guarantee anymore of lifelong employability. But when I was there, we had people who had worked for that company for 50 years that were retiring. We have people who are still there celebrating long tenure with that company. But today, it's not that lifetime employment, it's lifetime employability. And so how can a company invest in you in a way that says, you may not be here forever, but I'm going to help you while you're here, grow skills that make you valuable while you're here, but also can help you figure out what your next evolution is, even if that's not within the company. And I think that's what generationally people are looking for, is you invest in me because you care, because you want the best for me, and you also want me to be a productive employee as well.
What is the business case for an employer investing in the development of skills that that employee is not likely to use at the company because they're going to outgrow the role or move on or whatever?
So it's interesting. I'm going to share what we've been doing at Intellum. So when I first came into Intellum about 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, we have what's called a boost budget. So that's one of the ways that Intellum supports learning for our employees, mm-hmm. is they give you a budget of a couple thousand dollars to go and learn something. Be curious, be creative, you know, find something new to learn at it. And when I came in, it was like, it didn't matter. It didn't have to be related to my role. So I didn't have to go take like a, you know, Kirkpatrick's four levels of measurement because I'm in learning and development, or it didn't have to be finance for finance, non-finance people, or anything MBA related. It didn't have to be. It could be, I have a passion for pottery. I want to learn how to be a better potter. I guess that's what they call them. But because it was instilling in me a sense of creativity, it also inspired me to bring that creativity to my work, to create that, to bring innovation to my work, to share my ideas. Because I'm being invested in a way that speaks to me. I'm seeing that my company cares about me, and I'm going to equally show how much I care then about our customers and our products and our services and the things that we're doing. And so in that sense, it's a return on investment, in that it's a small investment, say, from the company perspective of time and money, but it's bigger if I don't withhold my ideas now because I want to be an active participant in making my organization better, or I want to share some of the things that I've learned to be you know, a creative thought partner or, you know, things like that. So I think like the book, I said, I was reading some books now. I can't wait to share what I'm learning back into either what I'm doing for my role or when I'm talking to other people and other leaders, because it's inspired me. It's like ignited this, you know, fire in me to go, oh, wow, I'm learning for myself. I want to share that with everybody. And it happened because of my organization, my company culture made that happen.
Have you made mugs for everybody?
I have not, because I'm not a potter.
I thought you said you were.
No, I said you could. I mean, there were
lots of people.
Somebody has a, somebody in Telem has a, an interest in shoes, tennis shoes. So they took a tennis shoe making course. Like they're like a fanatic in a sense. They collect all the Nikes that are so hard to find.
Oh, yeah.
But they went to learn how to make shoes. Not that having to do with learning management systems, but it's about time and energy, creativity, getting your brain away from your work to really open it up to other types of things. So I think there's a variety of ways that you can learn. I know at Disney, they do something similar with the Imagineers. They give them a budget and they can say you could travel, you know, you could travel or you could take courses, you can do whatever. When they were, before they built the Aulani Resort, like some of their engineers or Imagineers, what they call them, would flew out to Hawaii, were inspired by the culture, just living in that culture for, let's say, a month. They spent their budget on learning all about that. And when Disney came to eventually decide to put a resort out there, it was helpful because they had sort of that cultural experience. They could speak the culture of the people. It wasn't just plopping a hotel down in another, you know, city, state, whatever. It really did have to be unique to that organization. But it was something that actually, they weren't even connected. If they'd never built a hotel in Aulani or in Hawaii, then that person still improved themselves and their creative, they sort of refilled their creative cup in a sense, and it made them re-energized to come back to work and do different and innovative things. So,
what is the role of technology in building a learning culture? And you can talk about it and tell them here if it's relevant.
Yeah. So I think, you know, I think we talked a little bit about talent management, talent planning. So there's the talent management system that really, you know, helps you identify, mm-hmm.
yeah.
how do I get deep in my role, you know, learn what I need to do for my role, my skills and those types of things. But then there's also like that career planning aspect of technology. So how do I think about competency based? How do I think about career pathing for our employees? How can technology help us when we're trying to think about a learning culture of, again, back to I'm improving you in your role or I'm helping you for your next role, whatever that could be. And the learning management system as well, I can tell them, you know, how do we think about education and education management to provide, whether it's leadership training or it's technical training, product, software, things like that, how can we provide the technology and the tools and resources to give back to the organization to instill that culture of learning?
Right. Well, final question, where can someone learn more? And this is important, actually. Where can someone learn more about building a learning culture?
I have, fortunately, in my time at Intellum, had the opportunity to do a lot of learning science research. And mm-hmm. so a lot of the times I'll rely on, sometimes dissertations have information on that. I'm sure there's lots of books that have been written around transfer of learning or even about learning culture and, you know, those types of things. Because even though it's sort of a simple thought process of like, why wouldn't you have a learning culture? Why wouldn't you want to make sure that your people are transferring learning because you've invested so much time and energy in that? It's still a huge problem for organizations. And so I think that's where like, I think of ATD articles. There's so many articles that can go that are out there to talk about some of these concepts and topics. And even if some people like Burson, you know, the different reports that they put out every year. So I think I've had the fortunate ability, having been on the learning science aspect of things at Intellum, is to go out there and look at those different types of journals or TED Talks and things that are just constantly talking about this and help. How do we build out our knowledge around it so that we can take the pieces and parts that we need to for our own organization and make them work in that sense. So I think that's where you kind of have to dig through a lot of the articles and research to find the nuggets that will work for you. But there's tons of resources out there. If you just Google transfer of learning or learning culture, or like I said, the professional organization I belong to, you know, a couple of those different, whether it's SHRM or even some of the conferences have that as some of their topics as well as focus.
I really think it's going to get more and more important.
Social groups like LinkedIn Learning, you know, there are a lot of people out there who are contributing your sort of user-generated content. A lot of people are contributing articles around that as well.
Well, thanks, Michelle. I am thinking about the idea of talent planning. This whole conversation is feeding into things I've been thinking about a lot lately. However, we've reached the end of this episode. Thanks for listening out there. We'll catch you next time when I talk with another insightful guest.